And Doug says we're live. Waffle Mafia Podcast. Welcome, everybody. To everybody who is not yet in, thank you for jumping in. For those of you who are in the room, welcome. Boom. What's up, Kevin Castillo? He says, Wizard, what's happening, my friend? Vaughn Eric Ratliff, what's happening, good sir? How are you? Mr. Hummel, I'm watching this. However, I have no sound. Please use sign language. You, Candyman, we got you, good sir. Ain't nothing but whatever the thing, and you all know what it be. Let's have a little pause for the calls, and we'll get this thing underway. I appreciate you all being patient with me. You know, Mr. Johnson was not quite ready to have his bath in bed just yet, so had to push her back just a touch to accommodate the young Mr. Johnson, but he is now with his mother, and we're underway. It is the Waffle Mafia Podcast. It's your weekly waffle wrap-up rundown of everything that's going on in the Waffle Mafia, stuff you guys need to hear about in the MOTU world, new things that are coming your way, what's going on with the groups, who's growing, who's doing what, and who's showing off them toys thoughts. So I appreciate you guys jumping in with me and doing this thing. Let's have a pause for the calls and we'll get it underway. What's up, Danny Maynor? What's going on, my friend? Castillo, I am very grateful that you were able to pry yourself away from Miss Moreno for one evening and you chose to spend it with me. So I appreciate that, Kev. I'm just giving you a hard time here, Kevin in arms. Dan Rice, what's happening, son? I'm going to do a little bit of talking about the evil one. So tonight, I'm going to do a little bit of discussion about Evil Lynn. Oh, that witchy woman, son. So some of the things that I found out while we was on the run, finding out some stuff about Evil Lynn, and we'll get it all in before we're done. So going to do the old podcast. Of course, talk about some things that have happened this past week in the Waffle Mafia. Anything new that's happened in the Masters world, we'll talk on that too. If you're not a member of the Waffle Mafia, come on, dude. Come hop in. Great groups, and we're all friends. So under the Waffle Mafia banner, several groups. If you don't know who we are and what we do, we got the Lord of Destruction Waffles, Mr. David Carboca. He put the horse head in your bed. John Myslowick over at the Most Powerful Waffles, also Most Powerful Auctions. Check that out as well. And then Lucky Legends, myself. And then, of course, we got our brother from another mother, Mr. Joito Josue, down at La Wheel doing the Sunday night thing. So for you guys who are new to the thing and what we do, we all tip our hats and we welcome you. Welcome to the Mafia, my friends. And this is where we drink beers and do spins. So Mr. Poppy, good to see you, good sir. It is good to see you. Dick Torres, Dick Torres in the room? My Lord. My goodness. Lucky Legends for the win. I appreciate that, my friends. You guys are Lucky Legends. You make it do what it do. You guys are also the Waffle Mafia, too. So couldn't do a thing without you all. We need us one of the hats that say Waffle Crews. What we need. I always rep the Reaper crew. I love some Suns. And so I dig my Reaper crew hat, but oh, how cool if we had a Waffle crew hat, man. That's what we need. And a little Waffle Mafia logo on the back, and that's where it's at. So I don't know. You guys that are good at stuff like that and figuring that kind of stuff up, get out there and find us some, man. Find us some good deals. See if we can't get something embroidered up. We'll have us some hats made. It sounds good to me. But, hey, we got to do a podcast, you see. So going to try to get this sucker in the allotted amount of time. I normally have a hard time with that because we drink a few beers and get to do a few rhymes. What's up, Ruth Gilbert? What's going on? I appreciate that. What's up, man, Laura? What's happening, my dude? So, without any further ado, this past week did a couple of things as far as waffles go. We did a Princely Affair on Thirsty Thursday. So last week we talked about Prince Adam. And for anybody who's new to the show and what we do, Typically, whoever we talk about during the Waffle Mafia Wednesday podcast, that is who we deal with on Thirsty Thursday. So last week, being a princely affair, we got into that three-pack, that PowerCon three-pack that was done by Super 7, and did Prince Adam. So Prince Adam was on Thirsty Thursday. Also gave away another Classics Prince Adam. Did a lot of things princely related, just going through the royal family and some of that stuff. So some of the mini comics that was associated with that. Did a couple swings at the Z wheel. So you guys know we figured up the percentages on the Z wheel. Oh my Lord, you have a much better shot at catching a Dragon Walker in the Red Light District than you do catch it up on that wheel of Z. But it's fun to spin, you see. So we got the Z wheel. Took a couple swings at it. Did a Cavern of Power. Did some of that poster with that wrapping paper. Tila's Secret. Did another Z-Wheel. Hordak Magazine. So Mr. Hendrix patched his magazine back together there with his posters. So that's a shout-out to you, Trinity. Did a couple of walks on the Alpha Wheel. That's always fun, too. But Thirsty Thursday, man, we made it do what it do. So just a little heads up. I know a lot of you guys probably wondering, where's my stuff? Shipping was done this week, so that's beautiful. Got that done earlier in the week. Some people should have got some packages from me today, I would imagine. Also, some stuff should be arriving tomorrow for some of those other folks. So if you have not checked your mail yet, get out there, man. There might be some stuff from Lucky Legends. Quite a bit of stuff went out. Did 115 in shipping this past week, and probably got another 100 to go for this upcoming, or for the remainder of this week, to have everything out. So the goal is by Friday of this week that we have everything, all the past prizes are gone, and then we also have tomorrow night's Thirsty Thursday gone. So I'm going to try to have those all gone on Friday. So there are still a few little straggler things that are out there that still have got to get sent. But other than that, man, and packages went. So went to the post office, got that done. So you guys should have some stuff on the way. What's up, Mr. Black? What do you say? You got Mr. Magnus. What's happening, y'all? Kimberly Power Black. Mr. Johnson, hello. I hope Draven is also joining in there, bro. What's happening, Mr. Denny? What's going on, good friend? Oh, Dan Rice, shipping. Yeah, man. Steve got my Hydron that I didn't know won today, so that's awesome. Wallycat, you actually were a winner on the Alpha Wheel. So some of those prizes being provided by Mr. Alphabet himself. So a big shout out to Stevie Magnus, Alphabet, as we call him within the Mafia. Big nod to you, sir. I appreciate you making the Alpha Wheel be a fun thing to do and throwing up some of the prizes for that. So that's very cool. Nod to you, my friend. Also, we did Syrupy Saturday. Syrupy Saturday, we stayed within the three packs. So we did do Trap Jaw. So did Mini Comic Trap Jaw. Daniel Maynor won that. So Mayonnaise picked that up. However, he worked out a deal with Mr. Espino. And I don't ever mind if you guys do that. If you got something you want to trade it, do whatever. I don't care, man. Just let me know. Johnson drinks a few lagers, yo. So just remind me if something's not went out. But Mr. Espino contacted me, Carlos, and said, "Hey, man, do you mind to hang on to that Trap Jaw for me?" "No, brother, not a bit." He's been in here running shit. So old Trap Jaw, man, Mini Comic Alcala Trap Jaw, he's hanging out running the room right now. So a shout out to you, buddy, for letting him hang out just a little bit longer here. These classics don't last quite as long as these beers. So I appreciate you guys jumping in on Saturday. It was a fun time. Did that thing. Did Z-Wheel. Gave out Strobo. So old Dano Lamano had Strobo on the way. It should arrive tomorrow or today. Sent a few other things out. Let's see what else we got. Did a little Red Light D. Trinity took a swing on that. Got a little case of the Dragon Walker. Did an unnamed one to Mr. Itis. The prizes rained. It was the pity prizes rained down on Saturday night. It was a good night, and I appreciate you guys doing that. So moving forward, we got to get into this evil cat. So we got old Evil Lynn, and going to talk about her tonight. Found out a lot of interesting things. Was looking up Evil Lynn, trying to find the information for you guys. And, of course, Evil Lyn, always a very interesting character to me because, honestly, as a kid, I didn't really care for her that much. You know, the bright colors, they were cool. You know, she definitely stood out as far as figures go. But to be honest, you know, Johnson at one time was a young boy. I did not spring directly from the teat of the mother wolf. But in my younger days, I just really didn't care much for the female action figures. So when I got Evil Lyn, it was cool because she was, you know, obviously a part of Masters and what was going on. But to me, really, she was just sort of the opposite Teela. So you had a good girl and you had to have a bad girl. So that was just the way that it worked for me. And, oh, guys, if Evil Lyn is not a bad girl. So a lot of the things that we'll talk about tonight lend themselves to her terrible personality and the awfully, deliciously wicked person that she is. Oh, Evil Lyn. So there you go. There's the vintage figure that we saw as kids and stood up next to her counterpart, Teela. So, like I said, for me, it really was nothing more than just a necessary female counterpart to the fact that, you know, we had this beautiful blonde barbarian. Now we have to have an evil warrior goddess. And so Evil Lyn, introduced in 1983, was introduced as the evil warrior goddess. So, interestingly enough, nothing lending itself to her sorcery or her witchcraft or her witchy-witchy woman ways. Simply just Evil Lyn being the evil female warrior. So there you go. Evil warrior goddess. Sorry. Brought into the line for gender diversity. Obviously, if you got a girl on the good side, you got to have a girl on the bad side. So we did have that. Rooted in Mark Taylor's concept design is where we actually find the origins for Evil Lyn. So in digging, I wanted to go back and see, you know, where exactly did Evil Lyn come from? Why was this character created? As we know, with a lot of the early concepts, they went under different names. So there was sort of a working idea of what you wanted that character to be or who you wanted that character to or what side they fell on, or sort of the things that they may do. They may work with He-Man or don't, or what, you know, they're supporting cast. So in that particular case, Evil Lyn brought in a bit differently in Mark Taylor's early concept designs. Now, can we say that Mark Taylor created Teela, or Teela? Yes, we can. We can definitely say that. But can we say that he created Evil Lyn? Kinda. Because when you get into the artwork, the early concept artwork, let's have pause for the calls. Johnson's mouth get a little dry. There we go, my guys. So in the early workings of that stuff, what we saw was the original concept art that was for the goddess. The goddess also being where Teela pulled her origin from as well. So when we look at that particular figure, if you look at the goddess figure and you look on the point here, you will see the V shape. Now, that's interesting because when we got Ultimates Teela and they gave the extra head, we also got the head with the V shape that goes under the snake hood. So in Mark Taylor's original concept design, he actually had the goddess who is shown with that particular V-shaped design here, and we see that translated over into Evil Lyn. So that did carry over into the figure in a later design. Now, was it Mark Taylor who actually designed the look of Teela? Well, or Teela. Jesus, I want to talk about Teela tonight, guys. I'm sorry. Yeah. From the head down, because the Teela design, or the goddess design that actually eventually evolved itself into Teela, who was going to be goddess slash sorceress, this particular design is exactly the same as the design that we got with Evil Lyn. So the early drawings held true. They stayed true to the form that the goddess slash sorceress was in. However, Colin Bailey, who actually did the some of the artwork at Mattel, or for the early workings, he was the Mattel artist who we saw do the original head sculpt design. Now, he also did Trap Jaw. He also did Buzz Off. if you look at his sketches, he has a very unique design and how he draws things out. But one thing that he was very specific about was how the head sculpt would be done and how the face would be done. So with Evil Lyn, it was really important in Colin Bailey's first drawings of Evil Lyn that we got the headpiece. So the headpiece was a big key part of the drawing. And if you go back to the original drawing done by Colin, it actually does have, you know, the real big points that come out. So it very true to the design that we actually ended up getting with Evil Lyn. So also what you see there, and I don't know if you guys have ever paid really close attention, but Evil Lyn's face is a completely different head sculpt, absolutely new. So with that, Mr. Bailey had a couple of notes about who he felt like this particular figure should look like. And she was sculpted after Sophia Loren. So Sophia Loren, if you guys have ever seen Sophia Loren, a lot of the key notes that Mr. Bailey put down about Evil Lyn was that she was to look like Sophia Loren. So some of that translated beautifully to the toy, actually. So some of those details were kept in place. But in the Colin Bailey drawing that we're looking at for Evil Lyn, underneath it is titled Sultra. So S-U-L-T-R-A, Sultra. Evil Lyn's original working concept name was Sultra. Now, Sultra was never trademarked. The name was registered with Mattel in 1982 in October. So in October of 82, Mattel registers this, the working concept name Sultra. However, they never actually trademarked the name. When we got into January of 1983, which was the year that saw Evil Lyn's release, we actually got a trademark copyright on the name Evil Lyn. So really, the earliest origins of Evil Lyn, if you want to go back, you can lend it to Mark Taylor. You can say, yes, a lot of that early stuff is there. A lot of the things that translated themselves to the final toy design, yes, they made their way in there. Honestly, guys, because of parts reuse and the fact that, you know, if we can do this thing, we can do it cheaper by reusing, you know, the parts that are already there. Why not do that? And if you have a female figure that has already been molded, everything's good, and all you simply have to do is re-sculpt a new headpiece, oh, baby, have at it. So, you know, those guys were looking to save that money. So there you go. And that we can say that it was originally ascribed to Mark Taylor, but honestly, Colin Bailey would have to get most of the credit for Evil Lyn, at least for the head sculpt and the character that she actually turned out being. So very interesting stuff as far as the early stuff with Evil Lyn. Your toy, when we got the vintage toy, now, like I said, complete reworking of Teela. So here is the Teela vintage toy. Here is Evil Lyn. Ooh, look at that thigh gap, son. It was present back then. I don't know why we have so much trouble with it now, but pow, there you go. So if you'll notice, both squirrels the same. We got that down left hand there. You got the closed fist able to hold the wand and the snake staff respectively. So there you go. Only thing needing to be done with Evil Lyn, quick repaint, and then the head sculpt. So very cool that those were able to be reused. And of course, when we got the classics, we pretty much see the same thing. What's going on? Strobo's awesome. Good deal. That's good. Lewis Coronado, what's happening? What's up, dudes and dudettes? What's up, Kelshaw? Hello, buddy. It's Draven. What's going on, Draven? I see you over in the comments, my friend. We'll have a pause for the calls and drink for you again. So, like I said, when we got the toy, we did get the standard blisters. So we got the standard burst pack, the original beautiful freaking Masters of the Universe packaging that, good Lord, why we would ever steer away from that or why we would ever need to. If you guys saw it in the Ultimates packaging, I know if you guys have been around here, you have. But if you've seen the Ultimates packaging, guys, it was glorious. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Yeah, we would have loved to see the resealable packaging. Yes, that would have been amazing. However, you could run me a whole line of just remake every single classic, put it on the blister, on the original blister, and I'm all over it, dude, on that original card back artwork. So Super 7, if you ever really just want to ride the cash cow, which we know is not exactly what you guys are trying to do, and remaking some of the figures that people are simply longing for, you know, and I commend Super 7 for that. They do, they did give a reason why, you know, they're just not going back and mass producing figures. They want to add something to the line. They don't want to diminish the value of what's come before, and I can understand that. But, hey, man, if we got these back on those Ultimates card backs, I can tell you right now, go back and recollect the entire line just to have them on those card backs. So, she did come on the standard blister with the Errol McCarthy artwork, so that beautiful Errol McCarthy artwork on the back. We see a scene where Evil Lyn is sort of crouched down holding the wand, and she's looking and able to see He-Man in the wand. So very interesting artwork on the back. For you vintage folks who like to collect variants, there is a variant on the artwork, but I don't know that it ever made it to the actual full-color run that went onto the card back. So that particular, a very small thing, it was noted on Battle Ram blog. It was a very cool picture to look at. If you guys have never seen it, go over there and check it out. But it features her looking at He-Man, and in one variant of it, He-Man has a bit longer neck than the other variant. So I guess Mr. McCarthy, not particularly happy with the way that he drew it on one, and decided to shorten the neck up and drop it down on the second. And I do believe the shorter neck version is what's actually made it into production. So if you guys ever run across that, it's very interesting. Go over to Battle Ram blog, check it out there. It's pretty cool. Yes, there is a very interesting picture of Evil Lyn on Wily Cat's Corner. Wily Cat's Corner is a very dangerous place to hang out. It's where most of the Red Light Girls got their start. Wily Cat don't like to talk about it too much, but for some reason, when he claps, there's baby powder. So, with that said, you can't keep a pimp down. We'll have a pause for the cause and keep it rolling. Now, something that I found out, now, I actually did not know this prior to this year. I found it out earlier this year. Which is absolutely crazy, because I had the toy as a kid. I actually, like I said, probably didn't play with her very much, but I did have her. But found out earlier this year that Evil Lyn's staff, her original vintage staff, actually did glow in the dark. So a very cool thing, if you ever take a look at that, or if you have one of the vintage wands around, man, throw that thing in the dark. It's pretty cool. It was done with plastic that glows in the dark. What's interesting, though, is on the card back, when they were talking about Evil Lyn, of course, they break down the action features and what that particular figure is able to do. We got the wrist twist. We got the waist twist. So we did get that. We got the wand sliding into her hand so that she could hold it, which is pretty cool. But they missed out on one of the coolest selling factors of the entire thing, which is the fact that the staff glowed in the dark. So, interestingly enough, not on the card back, but the staff does glow in the dark, if you guys have never seen it. Let's see, what else was interesting there? She is shown with the short staff. So, that's kind of interesting in a way, because throughout the reimagining with the Classics line, we see some small nodbacks to a couple different things. One of the things that was included with Evil Lyn was that short wand. So we'll talk about that again here in just a minute. Also, when we went to the cross cell artwork, we found that McCarthy had also done the Mattel's licensing kit. And then when we get into the cross cell artwork, we saw that that was very true to the toy colors of Evil Lyn. So we had yellow Evil Lyn with the blue motif, and that's pretty cool. In my opinion, guys, you know, I used to sort of have a different opinion on Evil Lyn as far as which particular Evil Lyn I like better. As we get through the rest of the rundown, we'll talk about it. I'll get into why one feels a little different to me than another, why I like it much more. Evil Lynn's real name is Jaundice. That's correct. It's Jaundice Evil Lyn, as she has come to be lovingly known throughout the community at times. Yellow Skin or Simpsons Evil Lynn. I like Jaundice Evil Lynn much better. So it's just funny. You know, there you go. And we got some smashing going in the comments, bro. I like that. So, with that said, once we got outside of the original toy, what we did get into is the Filmation line. So, when we got into, or not the Filmation line, the Filmation series. Once we got into the Filmation series, we saw a very different Evil Lynn. Now, very much the same in looks. However, she had more of the skin tone, colors a bit different. We don't have the blues, and she's not rocking the blue motif and the yellow skin. So taking much better care of her liver in the Filmation series. What we see is Evil Lynn, Warrior Goddess, same thing. She is Skeletor's second in command. Vastly more intelligent than all of the other evil warriors. She is subservient to Skeletor. Admittedly, she is not as strong as Skeletor, and she does admit the fact that her powers are not quite as strong as Skeletor's, but she is also very vocal about the fact that all she wants is power. She is neither loyal, she's loyal to no one. She's simply loyal to power. And when we think about this witchy woman and the things that we have seen her do throughout the years, going through Filmation and then Resurrection through MYP, Evil Lynn is simply out for herself. She wants the power, and she's all about the power. And even compliments He-Man on his muscles at one point in time, because He-Man does have the power. Now, she is a witch. She is listed as a witch, although she was intended to be Teela's counterpart. She is a bit more of a counterpart to the Sorceress. So, interestingly enough, if you stack them up in Filmation, Evil Lynn is a much better rival to the Sorceress in the sense that they both are magic users. They both are sorceresses, so they can battle. Teela, known for hand-to-hand, leader of the Royal Guard, or captain of the Royal Guard, not necessarily known for casting spells or doing magic. Now, a little bit later down the road, perhaps, when her destiny's fulfilled or her fate has been seen later on in different canon, if that's something that you accept. But as far as Filmation goes, Evil Lynn, much better rival for the Sorceress, and they do actually square off a time or two in using their powers. But Evil Lynn, not necessarily hand-to-hand combatant as we see her in Filmation. Oh, but Filmation is not our only iteration of Evil Lynn, and especially not the one that I care for, my friends. So let's have another little pause for the calls. And here we go. Let's keep on talking about this warrior goddess, yo. So Evil Lynn, warrior goddess, we got to get on over and talk about a little bit of the MYP. We're going to get into that too. But I wanted to talk about a couple of things to look for in Filmation that's quite interesting, because Evil Lynn in her earliest, even in her earliest forms, when we see her in the Golden Books, when we see her in the MOTU UK annuals, Evil Lynn has the ability to transform. And so, being a sorceress, she's able to transform into different things, to disguise herself in many different ways. But one of the earliest things that we see her transforming into is actually this sexy little bird right here, Screech. So Screech, now, of course, color-wise here, a lot of debate on how you feel about Screech, a lot of color debate also on Zoar or Zor, however you like to pronounce that. I like Zoar, but so the colors here, we got the nice colors that go along with Evil Lynn. It's the colors that we got as a kid with the vintage toys. But if we get into some of that media and get into some of those comics and artwork, Screech actually shone a little bit different in a couple different ways. Sometimes not necessarily a falcon, but sometimes a vulture-looking bird. But Evil Lynn having the ability to transform into Screech. Screech noted three E's. That is a separate figure. So Screech, Evil-Lyn having the ability to change into Screech. So that is something. Evil-Lyn is a shapeshifter. So she does have the ability to do that too. Been watching 2006 the first time. Seems like she has a ton of power. Seems very young. Yes, we'll talk about that in just a second. They do let her grow in the comics. That is correct. There's a lot of very interesting stuff, especially in the development of her character. And so, interestingly, a point that I was going to touch on before we got into this shape-shifting part and her disguises, the many guises of Evil-Lyn, it was listed, and we kind of, in order to talk about where Evil-Lyn found her base and where she came from, you've got to talk about a little bit of that backstory. And so the backstory on the classics and what Dan's talking about with MYP and MV Creations, that really expanded on Evil-Lyn as far as her backstory. But a lot of people thought that that backstory was just simply made up, that Netlitch came in and just created something and made some things up that weren't necessarily true. And one being where her name came from. So Evil-Lyn, obviously one of the most interesting puns or play on words in Masters, it's Evil-Lyn. So Evil-Lyn being her name, dashed out to Evil-Lyn. It is written in the 82 Bible by Michael Halperin that her name was Evil-Lyn Morgan Powers, and that she actually was a scientist from Earth who crash landed on Eternia. So that backstory is there. That backstory follows also along with Marlena. But interestingly, throughout the years, there's also some changes to that story. In some cases, she's simply Evil-Lyn. In some cases, she is Evil-Lyn Powers. But honestly and truthfully, the name for Evil-Lyn was Evil-Lyn Morgan Powers. So we see that. They do, like I said, expand on that a little bit in the future, but what they did neatly was add to it without really taking a whole lot away from it. You can make it interesting. You don't necessarily have to have the fact that she's from Earth. And so they blended a couple of elements. So some of the elements that came together pretty nicely for Evil-Lyn and her backstory and who she actually is. So in the transformations, we'll talk about that too with Filmation, the folks that she's transformed into, Evil-Lyn is responsible for a lot of transforming. She's also responsible for a gold variant He-Man that we have. So I don't know if you guys know that, but Loyal Subjects does a gold Chase He-Man. We actually did see a gold He-Man in the Filmation series. So it was interesting. I don't know if the Loyal Subjects knew that. I don't know if that's something that they intentionally did. We have seen some other Chase figures done in some other lines, and they'd have done some gold figures. But interestingly enough, in the Masters of the Universe world, that particular gold Chase figure works pretty well. So the gold He-Man, so there is a gold He-Man that she transforms him to using the Shaping Staff. So the Shaping Staff, Evil-Lyn wreaking a lot of havoc with the Shaping Staff. We got a gold He-Man. We got our Cricket Orko. We got Goat Randor. We got Frog Tila. And then we got Snake Wing Bat Evil-Lyn when she actually transformed herself into something as well. We do see her in the Filmation series with short hair. She's shown with short white hair when she is Majestra, or she's prettier than Majestra. As Majestra. If you look into what was interestingly added here, so on the vintage toy, you've got your skull. So that was on the original design. So the skull is on the top of the deal here. In Filmation, I guess to be kid friendly, that it couldn't necessarily put the skull in there. But in some of the early sales, it is actually drawn in there. And then I guess in a last minute decision to take it out because it wasn't friendly for kids, they went in and actually colored it black. So Mr. Etok, James Etok, Serial Geek, pointing that out and sharing that with us on his YouTube channel, talking about why that particular skull never made it in to Filmation. But in some cases, it actually did because it is there. She was voiced by Linda Gary. No, only After Power, no Allegiance to Skeletor. She's able to transform into a fireball. She transforms into Screech. She is able to be Xenia, who is an old lady, Nadira, a peasant girl, old lady Thalia. She also is able to transform into Catherine Mary Winston. So as I read that, man, that really, I don't know, you know, Xenia sounded right. Nadira sounded right. Thalia sounded right. But Catherine Mary Winston is like, yeah, you know, Catherine Mary Winston from right down the road. You know, you borrow some sugar from her before. Go down to Catherine Mary Winston's house and, no. So Catherine Mary Winston, for you trivia folks, Evil Lyn, 1987 Masters Universe movie, played by Meg Foster, absolutely glorious. If you guys want to see what cold, calculating sexy is, right there it is. Meg Foster plays that part to a T. But Evil Lyn actually disguises herself as Julie's mom. So Julie's mom, Catherine Mary Winston, one of the many guises of Evil Lyn. I thought that was a very interesting piece of trivia to pick up as we were talking about her transformations and the things that she can do. Now, throughout the series, we see her obviously being Evil Lyn, being second in command, having the power, always sort of challenging Skeletor somewhat, but very competent and able to do the things she wanted to do. We do see a couple of cases, though, throughout Evil Lyn's telling over the different canons where Evil Lyn has shown a soft side. She obvious affection, or I guess admiration, you could say, for Skeletor. She did save the Sorceress when the Sorceress was a harpy from Shigorath, so it's very interesting there. Shigorath, is that right? No. No, I don't know. Johnson's got to look that one up. That one's odd. Don't quote me on that one. But saves the Sorceress from being a harpy in that particular episode. Her magic actually reverses the magic where she's a harpy. Interesting Filmation episodes to check out. Check out Shaping Staff, Curse of the Spellstone, Evil Lyn's Plot, and The Royal Cousin. Those are all very interesting episodes where Evil Lyn does her shape-shifting. Moving on, we talk about MYP, Mike Young Productions 2002. We lovingly refer to it as 2000X. She does a transformation in that series as well, so it was a nice nod and throwback to the fact that she did disguise herself and confuse folks. She transforms into Cersei in that particular series. So Cersei luring the men in with her beauty, except pause for the calls. There we go. We're going to be dry cleaning a tie, yo. Definitely will not be wearing that to work now. Style and grace. You know what I mean? Get it in a hole in your face, Johnson. Here we go. So what we see in MYP, and I think Dano, it got mentioned in the comments just a minute ago. I think it was really... I think it's really worth noting that in the MYP version in 2000X, they really did let Evil Lyn shine. If you think powerful witchcraft, if you think evil sorceress, if you think someone who really just has unlimited power as far as... Now, like Dano said, they kept her power in check. She was always in check, second in command of Skeletor, and Skeletor kept her in her place. But you could definitely tell that there was a respect and admiration that was put in place in MYP in 2000X to sort of give nod to the fact that she is, in fact, his second-hand man. Also, we do get a nod at a love interest. So when we look at the early telling, and we're talking about Keldor in the early days of Keldor, we see a love interest between he and Evil Lyn. And of course, it is Evil Lyn who saves Skeletor's life as she brings him to Hordak and begs for his life. So Lyn, at that time portrayed in MYP, in that particular part, loving Keldor as far as we can see, or that it is alluded to, and that she carries him up to save his soul. So little did she know making a deal with the devil, so to speak. And Hordak then, of course, does what he do and bonds him with that little limo foo. So that's where we get the dark souls from Despondos bonding. Keldor is no more. There is only Skeletor. Very amazing scene in MYP. Evil Lynn portrayed amazingly throughout that series. What's up there, Tommy Sexton? Good to have you in there, buddy. Good to see you. Hey, what's up, Kelshaw? What's going on, my man? It's good to see you, my trucking friend. So, very important, I think, the way that she was handled in MYP. They wanted you to know that she had a lot of power. There was a lot to her. Very, very in-depth character. But do not be fooled throughout the series. Don't take your eye off of Evil Lynn. She will betray you. She betrayed Skeletor and on multiple occasions. And the fact being, she never actually came down to doing the deal, but she did go behind his back, alluded to the fact that she would help Hordak. She was also in the workings of freeing King Hiss and helping the Snake Men. So Evil Lynn, a very integral part of MYP, of the 2000X telling. Now, did we see Jaundiced Evil Lynn in 2000X? No, we did not. What we saw in 2000X was a redesign on Evil Lynn, and that's where we also got into the story of the Faceless One being her father. So we find out a little bit more of the backstory on her and where Evil Lynn came from. Young Evelyn, sort of rebellious teenager, seeking power, seeking wisdom, rebels, leaves out from the sands of time and the raising of her father, the Faceless One. So I did think it was interesting that they really expounded on that Faceless One character there, the creation of that. And so that actually goes back to the UK in 86. That information is there. So they talked about those kind of things and her being from the sands of time. So interestingly enough, or being from Zalesia, I'm sorry, sands of time there with her father. And he does step in an MYP to help in a case or two. It would allude to the fact that the Faceless One is good. However, he is being punished. He was on the Council of Elders, and it was Evil Lynn's very creation that caused him to fall from grace. So in the telling of that, we see that a disgraced member of the council, due to having a child out of wedlock, if you will, due to having, or actually not out of wedlock, due to the fact that this child was born, the elders were actually had to abstain. No trips to the red light district for those guys. It was one of those things where you made the choice and you lose your voice, and that's pretty much it. So he broke the rules, and that's what it be. And then we got that little evil girl, you see. So Evil Lynn, and they just gave it a little bit of extra spin. So what we also see, and in my opinion, absolutely the best Evil Lynn portrayal that there is MYP, 2000X telling of Evil Lynn. Absolutely love that figure. In my opinion, that the portrayal of her in that series is who Evil Lynn is. She is a witch. She can summon things. She can use the elements. She's never bested. She never loses that final word, and she's going to make sure that her power gets heard. So very interesting on that, and I wanted to share this with you guys too, because when we got into the classics, we got a killer nod to it too. So here we have Battleground Evil Lynn. We're going to talk about her as well. But what we will see is in 2008, when the classics line began, obviously you cannot have the classics line if you're running back through without this beauty here. So, of course, this is our girl for Thirsty Thursday. This is the classics Evil Lynn. We're going to talk about her. Figure, complete and total nod back to the vintage figure, which is absolutely beautiful. If we look here, I mean, the similarities, it is amazing. The Horseman absolutely nailed it. Did much better on the face sculpt, in my opinion. I think the face sculpt, they kept that same look that I think is what they really were originally going for. So the Horseman just able to pull it out, make it look a lot nicer. So beautiful job done there. Again, just like the vintage toy, complete throwback, or a complete parts reuse and throwback color scheme there. So we have the classics version of Teela, and then we also have the classics version of Evil Lynn. So you'll see exact same sculpts, repaints, you know, holding true to who, you know, the one they came to the dance with. So that was how they got here, and they stuck her out with it doing the classics line as well. So complete repaint there. Now, once you got that figure, but you'd seen MYP, you thought, oh, man, gosh, if we could only get that 2000X Evil Lynn. So as they were going through and they were doing some of the 2000X figures, we got that. And what we got was very interesting, because what this Battleground Evil Lynn really truly is, although it is a repaint, and it is a repaint of the same two figures that we just looked at, it is a very stunning repaint. It's one that the color scheme works really well. And why? Because they chose a color scheme that was a bit closer to MYP. So the purples and the blacks looks really beautiful on this figure. And it's really, guys, the closest to a 2000X version of Evil Lynn as we could get in the classics line. Now, Super 7, if you're listening, we would still like that, or at least I would. I think it would be interesting to get that 2000X version. But, again, a very close nod with the Evil Lynn that we got in the Battleground version. So just a quick head swap. We'll pop her out. And there we go. So we get the Evil Lynn head there, that's a bit more like the original vintage toy. But what interestingly enough comes with this particular figure, you get the cape. So the cape, very cool. It's very loose and pliable plastic. It actually just slides right over. So this is a bit more Filmation accurate, where we do see the cape. She has the cape in MYP in 2002, so absolutely beautiful there. And what is interesting with this figure that we didn't have with the others is this hand. So if you look at the hand on the Battleground Evil Lynn, what we actually get is a spellcasting hand. So very cool, very different than the close hand that we were used to with both the classics version of the figures. So here you've got the closed hand. With this version, you got the really cool spellcasting hand. So a resculpt done there. You could actually have her posing it over top of her crystal ball, you know, looking over top of the wand. So very cool there. Now, something else that they threw in that was a nice nod back was they gave us a glowing staff. So we did get on our short wand that came with this one. So each one having a short wand. So here's the short wand for the classics version, or for the vintage classics version, I guess we'll say. And for the 2000X version, or the Battleground version, we got that short wand as well. Now, both of them coming with a couple other wands. So you got the long staff to switch out for the classics version, or the vintage version, and you also got this sword, or this little dagger that came with her as well. Got the same thing with the Battleground version. You got this dagger that was a repaint, this long staff. Now, I also have this staff to go along with it too. And she came with that beautiful short-haired Evil Lynn head. So very nice. Beautiful nod done by the Horseman. This figure so close to 2000X, but hey, you know, we'll take it. We won't complain. We will, but nobody will listen. They're on a boat. No. We're shipping on the 20th, so the new figure's coming out on the 20th. Now, we did see another version of Evil Lyn that was done in the Club Grayskull line, and that was the Filmation Evil Lyn. So that line continuing, that's still out there. For you guys that have not ever seen that one, that one was actually on sale today through Mattel on Mattel's eBay at under $20. So pretty cool grab on that Evil Lyn if you didn't have it and you are collecting that Club Grayskull line. Me myself don't particularly collect that line. However, there are a couple out of this new wave that I absolutely want to pick up on. So that's pretty cool. With the Battleground version, we did get a new bio. It was a throwback to 2000X with purples and the blacks, capes removable. Interestingly enough, no waist articulation on these figures. I don't know if you guys have ever paid attention to that, but no waist articulation. So we do not move at the waist. So they follow that same with all three because all three of those share the same sculpt. Let's see. Last couple things I want to touch on. Screech came with this version of Evil Lyn. He does not come with. We did not get an MYP version of Screech. We didn't get to see that, but this particular version of Screech coming with the vintage looking classics version. It's a repaint from Zoar. It comes with red. It comes with the red armor and the stand. So that's pretty cool. Couple of other places that you guys can see Evil Lyn if you are looking to collect all things Evil Lyn. There is a Sideshow sculpt that is out there. It's done by SideshowToy.com if you guys want to check that out. That sculpt, there was only 750 pieces being made. They're $440 a pop. I know it's very expensive. But if you guys see the quality and just the detail and stuff that went into that, I can understand $440 for that piece. If you get on the website and you sign up and you're a new member, you do get $20 off your first purchase, so you can pick this bad boy up for $420. There you go. And let's keep on moving with the show. She is out there. It is beautiful. She's got the snake tattoo on her back, so it's kind of interesting Sideshow to sort of jazz it up a little bit, putting the snake tattoo on the back. It is still in pre-order. You can still get a hold of that if you want. She's wearing those thigh highs of Evil. It's just absolutely glorious. This particular Evil Lyn, if you guys have not seen this, oh, man, you definitely want to slide over there and check that out. She's rocking this sort of glorious, cheeky look. A bit more cheeky than our Super 7 Tila that's on the way. This has a bit more of a wedge to it. But you guys should definitely check that out if you haven't already. Beautiful snake tattoo on the back. And, of course, we got that cheeky sort of grin there on the backside. The thigh highs of Evil. The headpiece almost dragon-like, kind of cool looking. The wand is a clawed hand holding a jewel. There are also a Sideshow He-Man and Skeletor sculpture out there if you guys haven't seen that also. There is another Evil Lyn. It's the Power I Want version. It features a full bodice, like bustier. She's more 2000X inspired, and that one has a tattoo also, has the snake tattoos. She does have a cape. It's purple and black motif. Those were limited to 1,000. They are gone, so you cannot get a hold of those anymore unless you were to pick them up from a third-party retailer or eBay or go over to heat-bait.com. They don't have them over there, but hey, they might. So go check it out anyway. But yeah, those were limited to 1,000. They have been sold. Also on toywiz.com, they do have the 2000X mini statue of Evil Lyn. That's pretty cool. I don't know if we got her in a Stactions version. I can't remember. I don't think so. Maybe you right or wrong, don't know. There are, of course, the 2000X versions out there as well. But, hey, man, that's what it is as far as I can tell. So y'all join me back tomorrow night. We're going to do Thirsty Thursday, all right? We're going to talk about this little squirrel right here, and we'll probably talk about a few more squirrels while I drink my beer, because you know what happens when that syrup starts to flow and these toys get to going. So, I appreciate you guys hanging out with me. Wanted to give you that quick update on shipping, let you know where everything was going on that. I know that we still have a couple of other things we got to do. We got to do the Grayskull 700. I am working on that, guys. That is absolutely intense. It's not coming together the way that I'd planned. I admit when my plans fail. So hasn't failed quite yet. But it has been a cluster trying to get that one together. I do have the free spots for the podcast for last week. We'll have the free spots for tonight. And then, of course, we got our monthly participation prize. So I haven't forgot about you guys on any of those things. Still have those out there. But to be quite honest with you guys, I actually wanted to just completely catch up on shipping before we get anything else going out. So, you know, at times I get a little bit ahead of myself with a lot of great ideas. Or I won't say great ideas. You guys get me inspired, get me thinking about stuff, give me some crazy ideas, and then I just want to run with them. But we'll come up with some great ideas and think, you know, hey, man, can't wait to do that. We get really super pumped up to do it. And we just get a lot of things on the burner. So right now, going to slow things down just a touch for this week until I can get the rest of the shipping complete. Took a huge chunk out of that on Monday, and then we're going to finish that up on Friday. Everything from tomorrow night will go out on Friday morning as well, and that way we will have a completely clean slate with shipping, and we will come back in the following week, pick up the things that we're behind on doing. Oh, and by the way, Daytona 500 on Sunday. So you guys know how I get during race season. Things get a little bit wild, and I may pop up a couple times just being a child, jumping on there talking to y'all and doing what we do. And let's have a pause for the calls for the Waffle Mafia Fool. I appreciate you guys hanging out with me and doing what we do. Hey, all kinds of great groups for y'all to check out, too. Go over to Scareglow's house. Check out Mr. Itis and what John's got going on over there. He's building a nice family, too. And, you know, hey, man, different fits for different folks. Some people like fun. Some people like jokes. You know, just do what you do. Whatever makes you happy is the best. But make sure you stay over here with Legends, man, because I love y'all to death. Y'all are my world. Ain't a whole lot goes on that y'all ain't up in it. And doing the waffles, man, that's just the fun when we spin it. You guys are the fun, and you guys are my day, and the things that I see that make me thank you guys, and the stuff that's going on in my work day make my day better. So you guys share your world too. Jump on Legends, go live. Trinity did it this past week. I don't mind a bit. Get on there. Hey, guys, this is your all site. This is your all's group. It's your all's page. It always has been from day one. So you guys do what you want to do. Jump on there and talk to each other too. Check out some of the other groups. Enjoy the Toy always, man. Go over there, see what Mr. Hummel's doing over there. Enjoy the Toy. He's always got something going on, a lot of cool stuff going on over there too. Sister Podcast, man, Masters of the Galaxy Podcast with Brian Ozone and John Meislerwick. Make sure you check that out, too. They had Penny Dreadful on this past week. Those old podcasts are good. Go back and listen to them. Always, man, check out Fans of Power. It's Joe and Tyler, our brothers from another mother. Go to popculturenetwork.com, he-man.org. Check out all the great pages, man, all great people, all great fun. Motu Nation, one of my favorite Masters pages. You know, I like to keep it within the mafia, guys. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit jaded like that. You know, we've got a thing that we're trying to do and this thing that we're trying to build, and we got to keep it chugging that way. So, you know, forgive me if we keep each other close. Appreciate that. I love y'all, bros and ladies, all my squirrels. Y'all have a good night, boys and girls. Thank you for hanging with me. We'll see y'all again tomorrow night. Let's pause for the calls and send this thing out right. I love y'all, and we'll talk to you later. Peace.